Hello and welcome to the harvest season. My name is Al.
My name is, Rochelle. My name is Rochelle.
And we are here to talk about farming games.
Woo! Woo!
And hope that Rochelle doesn't die during recording.
No.
That was perfect timing.
No lungs, why?
We need to keep that cough in the edit.
Okay, I guess. In case you can't tell, I kind of have a cold, so sorry if I sound funny.
Yeah. So, today's episode, we're going to talk about Story of Seasons calendar. So we've gone through the mechanics and the characters, and this time we're going to talk about the calendar. So that's events and birthdays and just different things that happen throughout the year.
I promise it'll be shorter than the last one.
That's a dangerous thing to promise.
Watch, I got this down pat.
So we'll go over any feedback, which I don't think we have any, but we're going to go through it anyway, just to, you know, guilt people into sending us feedback because we have none.
Oof. Al's being ruthless this week.
Then we'll do the usual what we're playing, any news, which, you know, there might be some news. Don't know. We'll find out soon. And then we're going to go talk about Story of Seasons calendar.
Woo!
And hopefully I can say enough so that Rochelle doesn't have to kill herself talking.
Challenge accepted.
So, yes, we don't have any feedback, but we have enjoyed the feedback previously. Well, we've had some feedback, some stuff on Twitter and stuff, but no emails or reviews.
Tweet us all your best Story of Seasons questions, because yes, next episode is the end of Story of Seasons, and we're never going to talk about it ever again for the rest of our lives.
Never.
So
Story of Seasons is dead.
So if you have questions, get them in.
Well, now that we've got the guilt trip over, Rochelle, what are you playing?
I've been playing some Trio of Towns, obviously. This weekend, I re-downloaded Nico Atsume, and that's been fun. Choice game. Two of my favorite things. Low effort anything and cats. It's perfect.
That feels like foreshadowing.
Thank you for that lovely coincidence, universe. I've also been, what's the best way to say this? Attempting to play My Time at Portia on the Switch.
I think attempting is probably a very good choice of word for that.
What have you been playing?
I have also been playing Trio of Towns. Got to get that, you know, high value crops and stuff to beat Rochelle. 2 weeks left. 2 weeks left for that. No pressure. And what else have I been playing? That's a good question. I really should. We do this every 2 weeks. Why do I never think about this before the time comes? I was playing a bit of Tetris 99 again because that's good fun. And I was trying to get some points in the event that's going on. Of course, I'm never going to get anywhere near the points needed to be in with a chance of winning the prize, but it's still fun.
Wait, there's an event in Tetris? Yeah. What? What's the event?
So
I stopped playing, so.
So if you finish first in a game, you win, I think you win 100 points, and then lower rankings get less points, down to, I think, if you're in, like, I think it's 80th or above, you get, like, 1 or 2 points. And then at the end of the event, which, let me double check when that is, at the end of the event, if you've got over 999 points, you are in with a chance of winning 10, well, pounds in this country, I presume dollars in America, eShop voucher.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's quite cool.
So basically you're just getting a small reward for playing if you do really, really well.
Yeah.
That's nice. Pardon my extreme lack of enthusiasm. I am happy for you. Tetris 99 just isn't my thing.
It looks like it finished a week ago, so I didn't get there. But that's fine. That's okay. I wasn't actually expecting to, because you'd have to win a game 10 times to get there, or, you know, come second, I think it was like 25 times or something like that, which was never going to happen. I've never placed higher than 17th, so.
You did good. I'm proud of you.
Anyway, so I've been playing a bit of that, and also, I've also been attempting to play My Time at Portia on the Switch. which was, should we say, a mixed bag?
Do we want to give 5 minutes to Portia?
Let's talk about Portia.
Okay. First of all, you can say it Portia or Portia. It's all the same. No one cares. Stop arguing. It's fine.
And then that's the official line. The company have said themselves that they are happy with either pronunciation. So call it whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. It released on consoles in the past couple of weeks, just after the last episodes came out. I think, I don't know anyone who's played it on other consoles, but I got it on Switch. You got it on Switch.
I did.
It's Portia. Portia is a good game. It's a little buggy on the Switch. Do you happen to know if the developers who made this, if this is their first Switch game?
I don't know, actually. And that's an interesting question, because I'm not sure whether they did this or whether they got another company to do it.
Yeah.
Which would be an interesting question and could possibly explain things.
Yeah, because I'm kind of wondering, because like it feels like there were things that just were not considered for like a Switch, if that makes sense. Like, yeah. I think the most glaring thing is the text. There is a lot of small text that, like, if you play in handheld, like, it's very hard to read. It has bad contrast. It is so small. It's hard to read.
Yeah. And there's even things like, you know, layout issues with that. Like, some things overlay on other things and you can't read the writing. So, yeah, just... It does feel a little bit like they kind of panned the port over to another company and didn't really look into the quality, because, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like the PC version doesn't have any weird issues like that.
No.
It feels like they've actually taken the care around building it.
Yeah, and I think that's probably part of why I'm kind of jarred by this, is that I have played the PC version. And it is, like, very nice and rounded and looks good and everything lines up and things like that. There are a couple places where the text is a little hard to read because it's a little bit small, mostly in the character menu. But it's not nearly as bad as what's on the Switch. And I don't know. I don't know if it would maybe look better docked. I suppose that depends on the size of your television, but I so rarely play anything docked on the Switch that, like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, this is the thing, right? The big selling point of the Switch is that you can do either. And, you know, some people will play it mainly on the handheld and some people will play it mainly docked, and that's fine. I similarly tend to play it handheld most of the time, but I do play it docked sometimes. And I mean, the thing is, right, that theoretically it shouldn't be any different, because the dock isn't actually changing any of the internal hardware. All it's doing is having, like, putting it onto a TV instead of the screen on the handheld.
I mean, for things like the text, you are just, it's shrinking down for a smaller screen, essentially. So, like, it makes sense that, like, the tiny text would be extremely hard to read on the little Switch screen, but if I put it on my really big television in the living room, that tiny text is just proportionally larger because the television is larger and probably easier to read, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
But I don't know. That's one thing. There's other little things that kind of startle me. I know a lot of people are complaining about the load times. Even with the update that went out, the load times are really long.
Yeah, the update did improve it based on their videos that they've done. But, I mean, to be honest, it's really bad. Like, you know, you walk into your house, which is this tiny little area, and it legitimately takes 12 seconds to do that. Like, that's a long time to cutscene into your house. The problem is that it breaks immersion a lot.
Yeah, and it's going between areas takes a long time. Switching menus takes a long time. Like, it'll actually lag between switching and the menus.
Yeah. It's even things like, you know, putting on clothes or using up food and stuff like that. There is a noticeable second or second and a half lag, which is really jarring.
Yeah, I think the best summary I have of this is that while I was playing, I would try and open like a storage box, and sometimes I literally didn't know if the game was lagging or if I didn't actually hit the storage box at the right angle to actually interact with it, where it would actually take me a few seconds to figure out which was the case. other little minor complaints I have is that, like, I feel like the movement's a little off. Like, I find that I drift a lot. I know that sounds weird, but, like, I don't know if you've experienced this. I've reset my Joy-Cons a few times to make sure it wasn't that. But, like, I'll, like, walk up to a storage box and then kind of drift or turn a little bit to one side so that I'm no longer oriented towards a storage box, as an example.
I've not had that issue, but I think you've played a lot more than me.
I played about a month in the game.
Yeah, I've only played about a week. The loading issues just killed it for me.
Yeah.
Which is a shame.
Yeah. And my other stuff, just coming from PC, there's some really weird changes. Like, I don't know what happened to the walkway in front of Albert's shop. I don't know why I can't buy apple tree seeds and pigments in the stores anymore. It's very confusing.
Yeah, I think it looks like there's some updates that they added to the PC version that added some stuff in. I don't know whether that is one of them or not, but it looks like the Switch version's behind on a few of them, which isn't in itself a big issue. You know, like Stardew does that as well.
Yeah.
It's a bit frustrating, but you get them eventually and it's fine. You know, the important thing is that they work well, which is where the issue comes in. So yeah, I can totally see how if you've been playing for, you know, a couple of weeks on PC and you come to Switch and it doesn't have all the features, that'd be quite frustrating.
Yeah, for sure.
But I guess that if they improve the optimization and remove the lag and, you know, speed up the load times, it wouldn't be as much an issue because you'd spend most of your time playing on Switch and you'd be like, oh, that's a nice feature that's coming, great, I'll get that soon.
Yeah.
But it's different when you've actually played a feature and then...
And then it's just gone. And then you're like, oh, I can take on this commission, which I know needs pigments because I know I can buy pigments in the store. And then you can't buy pigments in the store. And then it turns out to make pigments, you have to spend like at least a month growing different crops. No.
So it's, I mean, it is a shame. I know we've both been quite excited about it. And it is, it does look really fun. And you've had a lot of fun playing it on PC.
Yes.
But I think I need to put it down until it improves. I can't. I'm not going to try and get a refund or anything.
They are definitely working on updating it and trying to fix things. So, like, if you were like, I really want to play this, but I'm not quite sure, give it a little bit. Let them kick out a few updates.
Yeah, definitely. So. And, you know, I don't think that I've seen a lot of people talking about getting refunds and stuff. I don't think that's the right way to go because, you know, that's not going to help them improve it because, you know, giving them the money that if essentially they don't get otherwise because their, you know, Kickstarter was quite a long time ago and they've probably got most of the PC sales that they'll get. And so, you know, if you want to actually improve it, if you want them to actually improve it, encourage them to improve it, but don't just get a refund unless you're really struggling for money. But it's a bit frustrating.
Get a refund and buy it on PC.
Yeah, or that.
Which is really well. It has better controls. Oh, that's my other complaint, is the control mapping is really strange.
Yeah, there were some things that really frustrated me, but I can't remember what they were. Maybe you'll have the same opinions.
I mean, I have a couple things like... Toggling through your item bar, you use like the left Joy-Con arrow buttons, which I keep trying to use the bumpers.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't feel natural to me. Things like my number one pet peeve is in the mine, you have to hit Y to use your tool, and you have to use the right control stick to move your camera. Like, you move yourself with the left Joy-Con and your camera with the right Joy-Con. And the way I would mine on the PC is I would stand in one place and left click to use my tool and then just pan around my camera until I couldn't reach anything anymore because that's fast. And you can't, it's not that you can't do it on Switch because of the layouts, it's that it's extremely uncomfortable. You essentially have to take your hand off the Joy-Con and try and orient it so that you can both hit Y and move the joystick at the same time without accidentally opening your menu or something or whatever. Like, it's very hard. And the other option is to walk up to somewhere, orient yourself, and then hit Y, and then reorient, and then hit Y. And then it's so painfully slow that way. Like, that's clearly something that was never considered.
Yeah.
I feel like this needed, like, a little bit of play testing and more bug working out time.
Yeah, I think this is a really good example of, you know, not releasing things too early.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably going to be similar to how Pokemon Go was at the beginning, right? It completely fell over because there were far too many people playing it. But within a month after everyone stopped playing it, it was great and you had no issues with it. And so, you know, after a couple of months of a few more patches and some more dev time, and, you know, they've got a lot more people playing it now than they had before they released. You know, they'll have some patches out and hopefully in a couple of months it'll be much more playable and we can actually cover it on the show at some point.
I promise you, we will let you know as soon as it's easy to play on Switch.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been playing. Unless you count board game night, but...
Oh yeah, I was also playing some Jackbox and stuff like that at the weekend. Oh,
I play, one to two times a month, I go to a board game night. And last time I played some fun games. I played the Tea Dragon Society. That was really cute. I've played the game Museum 100 times. That's really fun. It's about curating a museum and, you know, all that comes with that, imperialism and all. but it's really fun. So in case you're really into board games, I suggest those two.
Yeah, I would love to have a regular board game night, but for that we'd actually have to have some people close to us.
I mean, I go out to a meetup, so
yeah, we do. I mean, we do have you know, some friends and family who enjoy playing, but they're all quite far away. Although there is a possibility that one of them, who does I know listen to this podcast, and so will probably be hearing this, might end up moving near us soon. You know, and has been told that if they do, there may well be a board game, regular board game night that they can join in. Not at all that that would be a good reason for them to move, but
I think that sounds like a great reason to move, honestly.
Yeah, so do I. You hear that?
Do it.
Do it.
Mystery friend.
I won't be mean and mention their name.
So
that's what we've been playing.
Yay.
Let's move on to the news.
Everyone's favorite section.
So the big news that broke today or a week ago, if you're listening to this and you're not one of us. Of course, anybody who's listening to it is not one of us, unless we're one of us.
The big news that came out last week.
Or today when we're recording, is that Doraemon Story of Seasons is getting a release outside of Japan.
I'm so excited.
And now that it has an official English title, we can call it Doraemon Story of Seasons and not the Japanese name, which I refuse to say because I'll just muck things up.
It's okay. I'm very excited. Go watch the trailer for this. It's really cute. I'm really glad it's coming to something I can play because it looks adorable and I want to play it a lot. So
yeah, I'm very much looking forward to this. I don't know how much I will enjoy or care about the crossover part of it. However, I presume it'll add some interesting mechanics from the kind of usual mechanics, but I really like how it looks. And as much as I enjoy Trio of Towns, I'm not a huge fan of the more 3D style that it does compared to more traditional 2D ones. Or what's the term for this? Is it isometric? Is that what this view is on this game? The kind of...
I wish you could almost... see my face right now. I'm just like, I don't know.
I think it's isometric. And it's basically like this kind of diagonal looking thing. So you're not top down, but you're also not more low down. It's...
Yeah, it's 2D with a diagonal angled camera.
Yeah.
Slightly above. It's really cute.
It is. It is isometric. I just checked.
Nice. I'm proud of you.
Go me. My game designer friends would be proud.
I'm proud and I'm not even a game designer.
Yeah, so I really like that sort of style of game more because as games get more 3D, they also then you end up with more problems. And if, I guess if things are, from my point of view, the less 2D and the more 3D a game is, the more awkward it becomes to play. If it's not perfect, it becomes really awkward. And actually, I think we see that really well in My Time at Portia, where it is a really nice looking game, but it's because of the complexity, as soon as you add any lag into it, it just becomes unplayable. Whereas you're much less likely to get that lag in a more simple 2D playstyle. And I think that a good 3D game works, but there are very few games that are that 3D that actually are at the level that I feel I can play them all the time. And I think, you know, for example, Breath of the Wild, I think was one of the few ones that worked perfectly for me. It was just so responsive and everything worked how I expected it to. So it was good that it was done that way. But most game developers can't do that. and it just becomes awkward.
I wonder if some of it is falling into like Uncanny Valley kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think that's definitely part of it as well. Whereas, you know, things like Zelda don't fall into that because they have a much more cartoony view of things. Mm-hmm. So although they look amazing and, you know, kind of realistic in air quotes, they're not too realistic.
Yeah, I feel like I know it gets that way with like people in a lot of games. If they're not stylistic, it gets very Uncanny Valley very quickly, although that's been getting better in recent years just on the whole. I sometimes wonder if there's kind of an effect like that for like non-human things. Like, it can be weird to just see trees that are shaped in particular ways that are not quite right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I can get that.
I don't know. That was just a random thought. I have a question for you. So you prefer 2D over 3D, just general rule, not hard and fast, but general rule.
Yeah.
How do you feel like about in-betweens? So like Paper Mario with the 3D world and the 2D characters, or like Rune Factory is very often 3D characters on a 2D world.
Well, obviously I've not played Rune Factory. I've played Paper Mario a bit and I think it works quite well.
I like it a lot. I think the Paper Mario aesthetic is really cute.
Yeah, I really like how it looks, and these things are quite fun. But it really does just come down to how well the game plays, whereas, you know, the more traditional 2D style games, they can be a lot less polished and be still so much fun to play. You know, like Stardew, as great a game it is, has a lot of issues with it, which I think if it was a 3D game would be a lot more apparent.
I think it's that all, like, the majority of video game in history has all been development optimizing towards a 2D graphics world, you know? So like we have a lot of tools and a lot of skills oriented to making that function the best. And 3D, not that 3D is particularly new, 3D's been around since I was a kid, but it's just been around less time, and so people are still working out kinks, and we're still developing that as our technology gets better and can do different things with it. Whereas I would assume 2D technology is not exactly the same as it was in like 1989, you know what I mean? But the principles are more across the board.
Yeah, there's probably part of that, but I think there's also just like, you know, 3D worlds are always going to be more complicated.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're mapping a three-dimensional world onto a two-dimensional screen and two-dimensional controls, whereas, you know, that maps a lot easier with a 2D world.
Yeah, and I guess that's kind of a much better way to say what I'm kind of getting at in my cold brain, where like we have a lot of work and time put into making those two dimensions function, but we're still working on building that third dimension. So
yeah, I mean, it can work really well. It's just, it's really difficult to do it.
Yeah.
Like, I can't tell you how, like, you know, Zelda Breath of the Wild might be one of my favorite games ever. There's so much to do in that game, and that is, you know, the, in my opinion, up to this point in time, the pinnacle of a 3D game. And it's kind of a bit frustrating that there were many games that I'd never played before that are essentially ruined because I can never feel like they would ever work for me because they're not as good.
Yeah, just gotta lower your standards, man. Lower your standards enough to play Stardew Valley on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
That was a bit of a mean segue, but we'll go with it.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. That was a failed segue, to be honest.
However, that does bring up the important information that Concerned Ape has tweeted that the PS4 and Xbox One multiplayer update, the update that came to Switch at the end of last year, or was it January?
I don't know, time's not real.
And came to PC a couple of months earlier. That will hopefully be coming out next month. Obviously, that's not a confirmation, but it is. It looks like it's nearly there. They're just going through some playtesting and QA, and hopefully it should be done soon. So if you are one of the people playing on the PS4 or Xbox, why? Why are you playing it on that?
I'm not here to judge.
Well, yeah. Why play Stardew on PS4 or Xbox when you can play it on the Switch, though? Speaking of Stardew, we've got our second information about Stardew 1.4 update, because the first information was about the beginner's rod. There's some more information that you can finally pay to get stuff back that you lost in the mines.
I can't wait for this update. This is so exciting. Finally.
Although, as Rochelle would say, stop losing stuff in the mines. Yeah.
I was actually just going to say, finally, Al can stop losing things in the mines.
yeah. I mean, most of the time, okay, it doesn't happen very often, right? I just want to put that out there. It's not like every day I'm dying in the mines. If it does happen, though, more often than not, I just go, oh, that's fine. I didn't lose very much. But sometimes it's like, oh, I have to reset the day because I've lost something really important. Whereas this way, I can just sacrifice a little bit of money instead of wasting all that time and just keep going. Because as you know, time is money, mm-hmm. especially in Stardew.
That's very I'm very excited for this update. In that is also like, that's an example of what was said to be a number of quality of life improvements. And I'm excited about that. It's going to be great.
Speaking of things that are going to be great.
Forager released, but not on consoles.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
It's the end of this news point.
I'm looking forward to playing it on Switch when it eventually comes.
Same, same, same.
It's forward to playing. We're getting good at these segues. You may have heard of the game Staxel, or yeah, let's go with Staxel. This is a game that has just come out on Steam, and it is a farming game, which is also a sandbox game. So think Minecraft crossed with a farming game.
Mm-hmm. It 100% looks like farming game Minecraft. Like 100% that aesthetic. Blocky, building things. It's really cute. It looks fun.
Yeah, it does look good. I'll probably buy it at some point. But it's not at the top of my list because obviously it's only on the PC and I have a lot of games to play just now.
I am starting to think I need to just invest in making PC playing comfortable. There's so many games on PC that I really want to play. Yeah. So.
There's also some online capability, although I don't know whether that's implemented yet.
It looked to me like they were aiming for like multiplayer in a very like Minecraft-esque kind of way.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Certainly that's what it looks like in the trailers and stuff like that. But I don't know if it's been implemented because I can't see anything on the Steam page about that. Oh, it does say online co-op in the sidebar, so I presume they must have done it.
That's very exciting.
It is.
I will say, farming with your friends is extremely fun. I don't know how it is in this game, but like I remember in like Stardew, like it's exactly the same except just with other people, and something about that like brings me so much joy. It reminds me, I think, a lot of like hanging out with my friends and everybody's just like playing Pokemon on their Game Boys and kind of sort of talking to each other, and just how much of an enjoyable social experience that is.
Yeah, you're not wrong there. I don't spend enough time playing games with friends, but yeah, it's definitely fun when you do actually go out of your way to do that. You
gotta make more game friends, Al.
Oh, life is so busy though.
Big mood. You know what life is not too busy for though?
Beautiful.
We're nailing these. Cattails.
Cattails, what's that?
It's a really cute game. I believe it has been described as Stardew Valley, but with cats. And honestly, I don't think you understand how through the roof I am about this. I'm sitting here, like, set up to record. I can't really get out of my chair because the way I am trying so hard to not just get up and immediately go buy this. Like, it's 15 buckaroonies on Switch. I really want to buy it. It's farming Stardew Valley, but you're a cat.
I think you undersold the quote a little bit. So the trailer is fantastic in that it starts up and, you know, it shows, you know, your Nintendo Switch logo, and then it shows some cats, and then it shows the quote from Kotaku, which is basically what you said, but it's a bit better than that. If you quote it exactly, it's like Stardew Valley, except cats. It is just the perfect description of it. It does just look exactly like Stardew Valley, but you're a cat. And then, I love, this trailer's brilliant, because then they have a quote from IGN, which is, a lot of fun.
I kind of love how, I just love this. I love all of this so much, you don't even know.
So you're a cat, everyone's a cat, and you can hunt animals as a cat.
And get married and have kittens.
And fight.
I don't think you understand. I am literally going to stop recording at the end of this and immediately go buy this. I'm so excited. I'll let you know how it goes.
Definitely come back to his next episode and let us know how it goes. And that's your news for this episode.
Whoop, whoop.
If there's anything you think we've missed, let us know.
Tweet us, email us.
Shout at us.
Ask random questions that don't seem relevant, etc. Speaking of the podcast...
We really need to get some transition music so we don't have to do these terrible so segues. Bad.
I mean, look, I'm sure if we tally it all up, I at least have a passing grade in these segues. You want to talk about the calendar in Trio of Towns?
So, obviously, in farming games, you traditionally have a calendar. You have your seasons, normally four, of a number of days, sometimes 28, sometimes 31.
This game has 31 days in each month.
Which really confused me when I first played the game, because I'd come from Stardew, which had 28 days, and so it got to day 29, and I was like, wait, what? Day 29? When's there a day 29? Is this February? No, February has 28.
Yeah, I think usually when you see 28 is because that's a perfectly even 4 weeks, whereas games that have like 30 or 31 days, there's not the consistency of knowing that this number day is always a Tuesday, you know what I mean? Like, but there are more days in the month to spend time growing crops, so it depends on your preferences. In Trio of Towns, like we said, there's 31 days in each month, and there's four types of days, sort of. There's days with nothing, where you do nothing. Then you have...
Well, you don't do nothing. You do lots of things. Nothing out of the ordinary.
Average, boring old days that are less boring depending on how much you enjoy watering crops. Then there's days with birthdays of villagers. And then there's two types of festival days. There's competitive festivals and cultural festivals. So I think we're just going to go through the calendar. We're going to tell you what's in each month. We're going to tell you a little bit about some of that.
So we should probably start with spring, as it's the beginning of the year. It's when you start. We have 9 birthdays in spring, although obviously it's important to remember that in the first spring, you won't know most of these people. Just bear that in mind as we're going through. You might have to wait to spring 2 for some of these birthdays, year 2 for some of these birthdays. So there are 9 birthdays. There's Tototara, Hector, Noel, Ludus, Moria, Tatsumi, Wayne, Desi, and Ginjiro.
In that order.
We're not going to tell you the exact dates because that's probably unnecessary. If you want to find out, it tells you in game and it tells you on Fogu as well.
Go make digital friends.
And as we mentioned in the last one, it's good if you're trying to become friends with someone, give them something on their birthday, you get more friend points.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have, as mentioned, 2 different types of festivals. There's the cultural festivals and the competitive festivals. In terms of cultural festivals, there are 4 in spring. There's the Sea Light Night, which is a Lulukoko one.
Yes, you go to Lulukoko and you have a romantic / not romantic night out staring at the stars.
It's very romantic if you doing that.
Yes. That's a big one. You get a whole bunch of, I think it's like 2,000 friend points with somebody just for going and essentially watching a cutscene.
Yeah, I think that was the bit that pushed me over the point to Maria Luca.
Yeah. With cultural festivals, you start them by going and talking to the leader of the village in the crossroads. This one's really late. You can go between 20 o'clock and 23 o'clock. What is...
8 and 11.
Sure. I'm sorry. Even for my job, I do military time, so I'm just like, I don't know, it's 20 o'clock to 23 o'clock. Like,
Yes, as you mentioned, though, you do have to talk to the town leader. Don't forget about these, because some of them can finish as early as like 5, and if you forget...
You just don't get to participate that year. You just miss it.
So that was on the 4th of spring. The next one is on the 7th of spring, and that's the Festival of Longevity. And that's a Tsuyukusa one.
Mm-hmm. Which means you don't get to participate in it the first year. This is an all-day event where you go and give people porridge and it makes them like you more. I think it's like 1,500 friend points.
I mean, who wouldn't like you more if they gave you porridge?
I mean, honestly, you can win me over with food. It's fine. I'm not even going to complain. There are only 4 dishes that count for this one, though. It's rice porridge, herb porridge, tea rice porridge, and milk stew. Trivia fact, once you go and give one of these recipes to a villager, they'll give you something in return. And if you're cheap or don't have a lot of things to make a whole bunch of porridge bowls with, you can make one and give it to a villager and then give the one they give you to the next villager, etc., etc.
Everybody gets porridge.
But like I said, it's worth it if you have the resources, because it's like 1,500 friend points. You get 3 affection points with marriage candidates in Tsuyukusa. And this is specifically only Tsuyukusa villagers. Don't go giving porridge to someone in Lulukoko. They don't care.
The beverage bash, and that is on the 16th. There is a second beverage bash in fall as well. The way these one work is interesting. Every time it's a different village. So I think it starts in West Town and then Lulukoko and then Tsuyukusa. I might be wrong.
And it rotates continuously for as long as you play the game. Every time you hit the beverage bash, it rotates to the next town.
And this one is about, as the name suggests, making a nice beverage. The beverage is different depending on which town it is. Do you know them off by heart?
I believe West Town and Tsuyukusa are tea. And then Lulukoko is fruit-based?
Oh, yeah. So West Town is black tea, Tsuyukusa is green tea, and Lulukoko is fruit drink.
Yes. And so, like, you bring tea or fruit, and then this is a fun little festival. You basically have a bunch of NPCs, and they hold a bunch of different, like, they'll hold, like, mint or carrots or bananas or whatever. And you have to pick a team of 3 villagers and you, and see who makes the best drink.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because it feels like a competitive one, but you're not competing on your own, and it's very much about the working with some of the villagers and, you know, that teamwork and the kind of festival, the village doing stuff.
It's very much one of the festivals that's about, like, bonding between the villages. If you win, you get a whopping 4,000 friend points for this one.
Which is a lot.
So it's a lot. That's almost a whole heart.
It's nearly half a heart.
It's almost a whole heart.
It's not a heart 10,000.
Yeah, I have a cold.
Look, when I get something right and more than you, I'm gonna savor it, all right?
I'll let you have it.
Thank you.
But just so you know, if you don't win, you still get 2,000 friend points, which is still a huge chunk. Like, it's really worth it to participate in these festivals.
And so that was the 16th. On the 27th, you have the Goddess Festival, which is the celebration of Desi. Coincidentally, probably not coincidentally, it's the day after Desi's birthday.
Uh-huh. This one, you have to go talk to Megan in the Crossroads from 10 a.m. to 1300, which is 1 p.m. to participate. This kind of comes in 2 phases. The first is that in each town has a festival like this. A number of days before this festival, Megan will come to you and say, we're getting ready for this festival, will you help us collect the funds for it?
I don't know whether, do you do the same thing as I do every single time and forget?
I'm so bad
when you turn up and she was like, oh, I guess you forgot about the money, and you're like, oh, I did forget about the money, I'm so sorry.
I forgot once, and then I made a point to never forget again.
She's also like, oh, it's okay, we managed to do everything, we just got a bit tight and it was difficult. And you're like, oh no, don't guilt trip me, I was busy making my farm.
At the beginning, can you reject helping? Can you say, sorry, I can't help?
No, not, I think you can later, can't you? But not that one.
Not the first one, no. So you will be given 6 random villagers from the town to go and collect money from. Some of which are kids.
It just feels wrong.
I think it's expected. So, like, a lot of people make comments like, the parents know it's coming. They give the money to the kids to say, it's your job to pitch in. Like,
yeah,
that's their little allowance. I think that's cute, though. Teach those kids some responsibility. But you go around, and every time you ask someone for their donation, you have 4 options of how to convince them to give you the extra money, essentially. And different villagers prefer different options. I think there's like beg and then try and convince them and then pout and then like be irritated with them. If you get it right, they'll give you extra money. If not, they just give you the money. And then you go and you give that to the leader of the village, who is Megan in this case.
You need to do that the day before as well. Otherwise, it's too late.
Yes, it has to be at least the day before. I highly suggest giving it to her as soon as you finish. And then the day of, you go, like I said, you show up from 1000 to 1300 and you get pizza. It's just fun. You pick someone to dance with. You get free food at the end. You get 2000 friend points with everybody.
Yeah.
Oh no, wait, sorry, I'm looking at this up. The friend points you get depend on the donations you bring in.
Oh no.
So at a minimum, if you don't do anything, you get 2000 friend points. If you collect from one or two people, you get 2500 friend points. And if you collect from three or more, you get 4000 friend points. Collect those donations. Ow, missing out on friend points.
Look, there's so much to remember. We don't all have a notepad with everything written.
Look, gotta step up your game. That's the Goddess Festival. It's just a fun little West Town cultural event. You get free pizza at the end, so it's worth it for the pizza at least.
Yeah.
I'd do anything for pizza.
Especially on the first year when you're quite often struggling for stamina. Mm-hmm. So those are the cultural ones in spring. And then there's the three competitive ones. On the 13th, you have the Animal Festival, although that isn't, you don't get that in spring till year two. And that is, so the competitive ones are where you, do you want to explain this bit?
Sure.
How it works in terms of...
So... The competitive festivals, usually between 1000 and 1300, you go to the crossroads and you talk to MC Stephanie to participate. And in each one, you're bringing whatever the relevant item is, essentially. So like for the animal festival, you're going to bring an animal. I believe usually in the festivals, you have an option to, first of all, you can choose the level you want to participate in. So there's like beginner, veteran, legend, etc., which are essentially easy to hard mode, and you unlock them as you go up. And then you choose like, I want to participate in the cow festival or the chicken festival or whatever. You can only participate with one animal every festival. And depending on the rank, like beginning, veteran, etc., they grade you on a certain number of qualities of your animal. So like you can be graded on friendship or product quantity or quality of the products or the quality of the fur of your animal. I'm not going to give you details on exactly what rank will give you exactly how many points, but you can do that if you want. If you're that hardcore, you can look up that information and see what you need to win. And then if you win the festival, your rank for that type of animal goes up. So your animal has a different rank. It's like bronze, gold, silver, rainbow something. I don't think it's called rainbow, but it's a rainbow icon.
Wait, there's one higher than gold?
Yeah.
Oh my word. I have obviously not played the game long enough.
Yeah, it's like a magical rainbow level. And every time that ranks up, the product from those animals increases in value for when you sell it. So like if you enter one cow, all of your cows will rank up, but like your buffalo won't rank up because it's essentially based on product type. So like regular cows with regular milk are separate from buffaloes with buffalo milk, etc. But it ranks up for all of your animals that produce the same thing. So if you win, you increase your product rank. You also get 1500 friend points with villagers, 500 if you don't win. So, and then you also win a prize if you win. You just get a random item for beginner rank. But as you rank up, there's very specific items that you can usually only get from winning the festivals. And these are different things in different festivals. For the animal festival, it's all different types of clothing. So there's 10 different clothing items that you can win by winning the animal festival, which is a lot of game time because you have to hit 10 animal festivals. I think that's about all I can say there.
Yeah, so that's the animal festival, which is on the 13th. Obviously, you don't get that in the first year, although you can have animals at that point. You don't get that. The next one on the 22nd of spring is the pet show, or the pet promenade, as I think they call it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is similar to the animal festival, but it's with a pet rather than a farming animal.
Yep, all of the competitive festivals function the same way. So you pick your level, you pick your item or animal that's competing, for the pet promenade, since they don't really have products, it's usually based on their skill level. So
yeah, and again, this one you don't get in year one.
Yes,
because the
The pet promenade has as rewards for winning 13 different clothing items, which means that if you want to complete your clothing collection, you have to play the game for at least 14 years. So just putting that out there.
1,000 years. So the third competitive one in spring, and the first one you actually come across, is on the 30th, and this is the Harvest Festival. And this is the same every month, because it is it's always on the 30th, and it's it is every month because it's the kind of transition from the end of one season into the next one, and this is about your crops instead of your animals or your pets. I believe there is one added thing that this one does, is that you actually get more points if you bring something that's in season,
mm-hmm.
although you can use out of season things, but that just reduces your score, which may or may not be an issue for you.
There's 20 items you can win from this festival. They include things like mostly recipes, a couple pieces of clothing, because they're 4 times a year. It only takes you like 5 years if you win every single one to get all these items.
Yeah. I mean, the winning every single one is the key bit, though.
Yes. It took me a few seasons to really get into getting first place with everything.
I think the first one I got first place in is legendary the top category? The first one I did for that was actually an animal, because I found it really easy to level them up really quickly. I think I even did that in year one. I was nowhere near getting legendary for any of the other festivals.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a legitimately tough thing to do. It takes a lot of work.
And I think that's spring.
Yeah.
So it's busy.
It's pretty busy. It's springtime. Things are blooming. You start planting more crops. It's a very busy season.
Moving on to summer, we also have 9 birthdays. These are Mithra, Lotus, Sumomo, Brad, Shizu, Hinata, Komari, Kaolila. We have 3 cultural festivals again. The first one is the Star Festival.
It's a Tsuyukusa sort of like romantic event. So in spring you had this in Lulukoko with the Sea Light Night. This is the Tsuyukusa version. It's again 2000 to 2300. Don't miss it.
Yeah, don't go to bed before it.
Yeah, you get to, in this festival, you get to make a wish. There are 3 wishes you can make. You can hope for money and get 100,000 money. You can hope to catch someone's eye, which will give you 15 affection points with all the marriage candidates. Or you can hope to get along with everybody, which will give you 2,000 friend points with everybody.
And you go, oh great, 100,000, that's loads, but you can't actually do this one until year 2. Because you haven't actually unlocked Tsuyukusa by this point in year 1.
Mm-hmm. And then just for participating, you get 2,000 friend points with everyone in Tsuyukusa.
That's so many friend points.
It's really, really worth doing these festivals. Because like, keeping in mind, like, if you give everybody their absolute most favorite gift with their preferred wrapping paper, that's 1,100 friend points. And usually those things are hard to acquire. They're usually like recipes you have to make and stuff. Like, this is a huge chunk compared to what you can give on average. So
true that. The next festival is on the Star Festival on the 7th. I can't remember whether I said that or not. The next festival is on the 20th, and that is the Trilympics. So this is the first of the Trilympics. Is there a second? Yeah, there's a second one in winter as well.
It's summer and winter, kind of like the Olympics, where they have the Summer Olympics and the Winter Olympics.
Yeah, they're not normally in the same year, though.
Yeah, well, it's more fun in Story of Seasons.
So the Trilympics is kind of similar to the Beverage Bash, and it feels kind of competitive, but you're working with other NPCs. And the way this one works is there's some sort of activity to do. I think in the first one you're fishing, or is that randomly generated?
So it depends on the town. Like with the Beverage Bash, it rotates the town every time. So like in Lulukoko, you have a fishing tournament where you're trying to fish the most fish. And then West Town and Tsuyukusa have sort of like item hunting games where you run around the town and you're supposed to pick up a specific color of item. In West Town, it's colored eggs. And I believe in Tsuyukusa, it's those little Not Darumaka. That's a Pokemon.
Daruma.
Daruma dolls. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of ones that are different colored, and you're supposed to pick up a particular color and get as many as you can.
Yeah.
This is, again, Crossroads, 1000 to 1300.
It's good fun.
Mm-hmm.
There are a number of different prizes, again, for these ones if you win.
Yeah.
There's also, I think these ones also have an individual prize as well. So even if your team doesn't win, you can win.
Yeah. So there's two prizes that are given out. It's for the person who individually does the most, and the person who, and the whole team who does the most. You're, again, teamed up with three other villagers. So you can potentially win two things every time. This is how you get a lot of clothing and recipes as rewards for winning these things. So try Olympics.
Cool. Yeah.
It's try because there's three towns participating.
It's so clever. Next is the 31st, which is the Flower Fair. I bet you can't guess what happens on this one.
This is the all-day West Town go around and give people things. So like we had the Longevity Festival last month. This time we have the Flower Festival. You're going to take flowers. You're going to give them to people. They're going to give you flowers. You're going to like start with one and then re-gift all your things because you're a horrible person like me. You can earn different amounts of friendship depending on what you give out. So like if you just give people flowers you picked up from the ground, it's 500 friend points. If you grow your own flowers, it's 1,000 friend points. If you give someone a bouquet, it'll be 1,500 friend points.
Which really distresses me, right? Because I get the growing your own flowers is going to be higher, but why is buying a bouquet better than picking your own flowers?
Because it's more flowers.
Yeah, but it's more personal. It's more thought through. I've picked this individual flower off the ground for you. I've gone to more effort. I've not just spent money to buy a bouquet.
Well, I mean, have you ever bought a bouquet? You have to actually bring the flowers, don't you?
No.
No?
No. You just go in and say, I want that one.
What?
Oh, wait, you mean in the game?
Yeah.
Oh.
I was like,
we're not talking about real life, are we?
No. No, in the game, like, if you want to bring someone, like, a bouquet of marigolds, you actually have to bring X number of marigolds. You still have to grow it.
Oh, that's too much effort.
Yeah, well, that's what you get for getting those extra 500 friend points.
Fine, you win. You win.
Just so you know, in this one, you never know if you want to do my gift it forward technique. You never know what kind of flowers you're going to get. You may get a crop flower. You may get a foraging flower. So if you're emotionally attached to a particular number of friend points you want to get, just bring that many, one for everybody, every villager. So
cool.
That's the Flower Fair.
And that's all the cultural ones in summer. And then we go on to the competitive ones. So again, on the 13th, you have the Animal Festival. And on the 30th, you have the Harvest Festival. Exactly the same as the month before. But you have on the 22nd, instead of the Pet Promenade, you have the Cooking Exhibition.
Mm-hmm. This is a cooking competition, as I'm sure you would think.
No way.
Okay. You go, you make, like, it's three or four recipes that you make in each round, depending on the challenge level you pick, et cetera, et cetera, like in every other thing. Don't make my mistakes. Don't cook your food before the festival and bring it to the festival. No. You're cooking at the festival. Leave your ingredients in your farm storage. It pulls from your farm storage. I made a horrible mistake like the first three times I tried to do this.
How did you manage three times? Like, I made a mistake the first time, but three times.
Well, they're a couple months apart. Look, I get distracted. I was working on other things.
Your notebook failed you.
My notebook failed me. Don't cook your recipes and then bring them. Your scoring is based on the quality of the items you use to make your recipes, which therefore makes higher quality recipes. And there are teen items you can get for winning. So that takes a lot of years. I think cooking festival's twice a year, right?
Twice a year, yes.
That's 9 years to win all these things if you do it perfectly.
There's also the more advanced levels in the cooking, you have to cook specific things as well. I think in the beginner one, you can just cook whatever you want. But in the later ones, you have to cook specific types, like a drink or, you know, a stew or whatever. But
yeah.
I mean, well, I say you have to. You don't have to. You actually can cook something else, but you get less points if you cook something else.
Mm-hmm. And I believe you can't cook something if you don't have a recipe for it. So this is something that you would want to invest in recipes, which you get obviously from competitions, but also like you can buy them from the cafes so that you can do better in your cooking exhibitions.
Get good at one of each type, and then that's the important mm-hmm. thing. You can do anything. And that is summer.
Uh-huh.
So moving on to fall.
The busiest month of the year.
There is a lot happening this month. There are 13 birthdays in fall. In order, they are Colin, Umikichi, Lisette, Yuzuki, Tigra or T-Tiger, Inari, Shal, Itetsu, Omiyo, Zahao, Frank, and Iluka and Saluka.
Who have the same birthday because they're twins.
They are. And that's how twins work most of the time. So that's quite a lot of birthdays, obviously. Don't forget that Iluka and Saluka are on the same day. So if you want to give them both something, do both of them on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
And we have four cultural festivals. The first one is the other beverage bash, which is just exactly the same as the first one that we said. The second one, and that was on the 4th of fall. On the 15th of fall, you have the rice festival.
This is a Tsukusa festival. This is like the goddess festival. This is the one where you're paying homage to the guardian of the town. This time in Tsukusa, so you're going around a few days before, you're asking people for money, and then you're showing up on the day of the festival. You talk to Jinjiro, 1000 to 1300 in the crossroads. You do a dance with a villager of your choice. You get free rice dish to take home with you at the end. Trivia fact, the music in this that you dance to in this festival is the song, the opening song from the first Harvest Moon game I ever played. True story.
That's a fun piece of information.
A Wonderful Life. You'll notice that there's essentially the same festivals for each town.
There is a pattern.
Yep.
And again, this is one day after Inari's birthday, which I'm only just realizing this as we record. That is quite clever how they did that.
Yeah, it's to celebrate the guardians.
Next, on the 26th, we have the Fruit Fiesta.
Which is a Lulu Coco festival. This is the Lulu Coco all day, give everybody a thing festival. This time you're giving people a fruit you pick up off the ground, 500 friend points. Specifically fruits you grow, so that's like melons, pineapples, strawberries, watermelons, fruits that come off
bananas.
Of trees. Those will give you a thousand friend points. People will give you fruits in exchange. You can pay it forward if you want. Just so you know, with this one, if you happen to have a seed maker, you can take the fruit that they give you and put it in the seed maker and get free seeds. So that's my tip for this one.
Mind blown.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the Fruit Fiesta. On the 31st, you have the Pumpkin Jamboree.
This is another all-day give people things festival, but this one, rather than being for a particular town, is for all of the children in all of the towns. So that's Colin and Noelle, Sumomo, Tetsumi and Yaichi, and then Alma, Shulk and Tiger? I'm going to figure that out someday.
We need to just stick to pronunciation.
Mm-hmm. You can give all the kids either pudding, chocolate pudding, or pumpkin pudding, and you'll get 2,000 friend points with each kid you give a thing to. This doesn't apply to adults. Who cares about adults? Just give the kids pudding. Buy children's affection with candy.
Yeah, I wonder whether this is a metaphor for how Halloween has invaded all cultures, really.
I feel like it. Totally. Just so you know, if you're like, why would I want to do this? I don't care about kids. I don't want the friend points. If you give something to every kid and you go to your house before 2000, what's that, 8 p.m.? You can meet up with your Uncle Frank and he'll give you pumpkin pudding since you're the kid of his family. And if you happen to have at least two hearts with Frank, he'll also give you apple pie since it's more of an adult thing. I guess pie is more adult than pudding, I suppose. So you can get your own free dessert.
By giving everyone else.
You almost sort of not really break even.
So those are the cultural festivals in fall. And then we have three competitive ones. Again, on the 13th and the 30th, we have the animal and harvest festivals, respectively. And on the 22nd, our other festival is the fashion show.
As you know, you can collect a huge variety of clothes in this game, and you can dress your character up. Once you, I think you have to upgrade your house to unlock the closet. Yeah,
just one level though.
Yes, it's just the first time you upgrade your house. So this is based on the clothes that you wear, that you are actively wearing when you talk to MC Stephanie to start the festival. Get dressed before you go. Don't make my mistakes.
And go dressed as Mario.
You can go dressed as Mario or Luigi or Peach. Each clothing item has different stats. So it's based on those stats, depending on, again, the level you choose gives you different stats you have to follow. So you're based on your style, which can be elegant, wild, natural, lovely, or bizarre. You're based on color, black, blue, brown, green, orange, red, white, and yellow. And then culture, which is the towns, West Town, Lulukoku, Suyukusa, or other. You can see all these stats when you dress yourself up in the closet for each item, and they'll give you, you're supposed to be focusing on these stats, so you wear things with those stats, and that's how you try and win. There's 9 items you can win by winning the festival. It's pretty easy, it's cute, it's fun. You go down a runway and strike a pose, etc. It's a fashion show.
Yeah, it's pretty self-explanatory, really.
Yep.
And go wearing clothes. Cool. So those are the three competitive festivals in fall. And that brings us to our final season, winter. So winter, we have only 8 birthdays. We have Yaichi, Alma, Witchy, Carrie, Miranda, Ford, Kasumi, and Haulani.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to, obviously, to combat the low number of birthdays, we have 5 cultural festivals. The first one of those is on the 9th, and that is the Spirit Festival.
This is the Lulukoko Honor the Guardian. So you're asking for money, you're going, you're dancing with someone, you're getting free food at the end. Yeah.
I was like, is there something else you're going to say? I feel like that's everything.
Nope, that's everything.
On the 14th, it's Valentine's Day, or in Europe, it's Candy Festival.
What?
Because apparently we don't have Valentine's Day. We do have Valentine's Day. I have no idea why it's called Candy Festival in Europe, but anyway, If you're confused, it's the same thing. It's just a different name.
Okay, I didn't know that. That's weird. So winter 14, give out candy to marriage candidates. You get 2,000 friend points, 5 affection points for every dessert you give to a marriage candidate. I say that like you can give more than one. You cannot. It's just one per person. I believe it's any recipe in the dessert category. Just literally any dessert.
So make a pudding, that's the easiest.
Yeah.
1 milk, 1 egg. Easy. Done.
Done and done. When you're married, if you give one to your spouse, you get a little event where you sit and eat dessert together as a special meal, and you also get a dessert in return.
It's very sweet.
It's cute.
On the 18th, can we talk about let's go back to the Valentine's Day. It's on the 14th, right? Great. But it's on the 14th mm-hmm. of winter. Why is it not on the 14th of spring?
Because in terms of seasons, the 14th of February is in the middle of winter.
But this is at the end of the year.
It's winter.
Yeah, but it's at the end of the year.
I think the season is the focus there.
No.
That it's in winter.
No.
Yes.
You're wrong.
I am not wrong, sir. We are allowed to have different opinions.
It doesn't make you right.
Doesn't make you right.
No, but I am. On the 18th, we have the second Trilympics in the year, which is just the same as the other one. On the 25th, we have the Starlight Gala,
which is the West Town Romantic Night Out Festival. You go, you talk to Megan, you pick a person you want to go on a hot air balloon ride with. There's some DLC on this one where before the festival, Megan will ask you to help deliver gifts to kids in the towns, kind of like Christmas. You can choose if you want to help or not. But if you do choose to, a random marriage candidate helps you deliver gifts to the kids. It's cute. you get a choice of like, which gift should I leave for this kid? And you're supposed to be talking to them and they tell you what they want. But if you're like me, you don't talk to them and you forget and you just randomly guess. So that festival comes in a sort of two-parter because of the DLC.
Yeah. So that's the 25th. And on the 31st, the last day of the year, you have the New Year Festival.
This is a late one. You can join in 2000 to 2300. You pick the town that you want to participate with, and you have a little New Year's celebration with that town. You get 2,000 friend points for whichever town you're in with everybody. In the DLC, if you get the DLC after that, there's like a little cutscene that you can do. So you pick a town and you go with all the marriage candidates and give thanks to that particular guardian. Then that particular garden will give you a blessing for the next year. You're the only one who can see the guardian, though, as it turns out. So those are the cultural festivals.
Yeah, and the three competitiveness ones are the Animal and Harvest Festival, as every month, and a second cooking exhibition on the 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the year. That is our calendar.
There's a few things that you can't do until year two, including both, like, some of the spring festivals you can't participate in until year two, and birthdays. But there's also year two, they unlock different forageable items that you need to make things. Specifically that you need to make things to complete the farming tips. So you cannot beat this game in less than about a year and a half, I think, is about as fast as you can beat it. So.
Cool.
Shorter than last time? Maybe?
Just about.
We'll see.
No, it is shorter. So that's the Tree of Towns calendar. Thank you for listening to this episode. Next episode, we'll be covering our challenge and seeing how badly Rochelle has beaten me.
You may beat me. You don't know.
We will see.
We shall see.
We will see. It may well end up being a tie. It depends. Thank you for listening. If you want to tell us that we're wrong or give us some more information missed, let us know what your favorite part of the calendar is.
What's your favorite festival? Who's your favorite villager? What's their birthday? Why do you like Ford? I need to know these things.
You're so hung up on Ford.
Anyway.
You can go to our website, harvestseason.club, and email us from there once I've double checked that it's definitely still working. You can also go on Twitter and tweet us at THSPod. Or if you want to talk to me individually because I'm so interesting, you can find me at TheScottBot with one T. Or I guess you can find Rochelle as well.
You can at me all of your very interesting questions that I love hearing. That was not sarcastic. I genuinely love them.
Your hot takes.
Get my hot takes and updates on what the sign over the highway on my way home from work says. Last week it was texting and driving. Oh, sell no. At Miss Delaney with two L's.
Two L's.
Two L's.
Thank you for listening. And
until next time, have a good harvest. You'll remember someday.
Maybe.
The Harvest Season is created by Rochelle Delaney and Al McKinley. Our art is done by Micah the Brave, and our music is done by Nick Burgess. Feel free to visit our website, theharvestseason.club, for show notes, including links to things we discussed, and transcripts for every episode. Thanks for listening.
Okay. Blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah. Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. We don't judge Peter Piper for his pepper preferences in this house.
The one thing I did wonder about this was, why are they pickled if he's picking them? Because I presumed picking would mean from a tree. But if they're pickled, that means he must be picking them from like a jar or from a shop or something like that. Which just raises more questions.
I can't answer this for you. I don't know Peter Piper.